morning on today's episode of Talking with Dr. Tanevich. We are going to talk about all things skin cancer. May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month. So today we're going to talk about the causes of skin cancer, the best prevention for skin cancer, and the available treatments for skin cancer. Dr. Tanevich, good morning.
Good morning. Skin cancer is the most common cancer in the United States of America. Statistics are showing that every day we have approximately 9,500 people newly diagnosed with a skin cancer.
Every day?
Yes.
Wow.
But we are a big country too.
That's true, but it sounds like a lot.
It is a lot, but I don't want to scare people. Skin cancer, like everything else, actually starts after our cells in the skin were damaged. Then DNA starts signaling differently, producing cells which are not healthy and they're just multiplying like every other cancer. That's how it starts. And we all have to be aware of it, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more later. But skin cancer is like any other cancer. We have a different type of cancers. We're going to mention this afterwards. And obviously, they're not all, you know, killing us, but they're very, very important. We have to bring awareness, and we have to make sure that people are aware of it. And since we do have ways to protect ourselves, I think we should be able to do that.
So I think we can all agree that people know too much sun is bad. Is there anything else that triggers skin cancer? Is it something where, you know, certain cancers can be hereditary or anything like that?
Well, family history contributes as well, as much as your own history. If you did have a skin cancer of any sort, you may be prone for more. Also, some chemicals, which we really are not exposed that often, like arsenic, is also skin cancerogenic. But being more aware of all these chemicals around us, we do have ability to protect ourselves. And our environmentalists, I would say, are making sure that those components are not around us and they are at least not in our skin products, what we use daily base.
So what are the risk factors for skin cancer?
Well, we have a lot of risk factors for skin cancer. First and foremost is a fair skin, but we shouldn't be really fooled by that because people with much darker skin may get a skin cancer as well. Having said that, we have to understand that no one is exempt and we all may be getting a skin cancer. First and foremost, as I said, is fair skin and then exposure to sun and also exposure to the tanning booths, tanning beds. They're not very good for us, and they can be inducing a cancer.
Now, it does seem that the tanning salons with those booths have kind of gone by the wayside. They're not as popular as they once were. But despite that, I'm seeing here that you noted that the rate of skin cancer is increasing. Why is that?
Because people do not really take care of their skin, and they're not aware of it. Very often we get fooled with, oh, my daily moisturizer contains the sunscreen. We really don't know how to interpret these numbers in sunscreen and what kind of sunscreen we need and what do we really need to protect. But facial cream is not enough, and it does not usually have what we need in it. We are exposing all these exposed areas, like, you know, people who don't have a lot of hair, even people with a hair. We always have a scalp which is exposed. Our ears are exposed. Dorsum of our hands exposed. Arms, legs, and stuff like this. People do not do this daily base. People do not understand that we have to get protected every day, regardless of weather outside. Why? Because UVs, UVAs and UVBs, are really responsible for damaging our DNA in the skin. And UVAs are on the earth if we have a daylight. People think, oh, if I have to go to beach or if I'm going to be sitting in the sun, that's totally wrong. We have to be protected every day. Even in a house, you know, daylight in, UVAs are in. We know much more now than we did know before. Ozone layer was actually damaged. Now ozone layer, according to environmentalists, is repaired, which is really good and does protect us. But we have to be aware of daylight and we have to be protected whenever we are exposed to daylight, put it this way. Wow. What kind of protections we have to think about? And those are different type of sunscreens, you know, we're going to get to it with like chemical protection and physical factors, and we're going to talk about this, and I'm just going to talk about this a little later to make everybody aware about simple things, nothing complicated. We don't have to be doctors to know how to protect ourselves.
That's so interesting. Skin cancer itself, you said earlier, there are many different types. So what are the different types, and what are the symptoms of each of those? How do they differ from one another?
The most common one is basal cell carcinoma, which develops on the skin, obviously, but as the name says, basal cell, which actually originates from the deepest layer of our skin, from a basal layer. We have a squamous cell carcinoma, which develops on the surface. Also, same mechanism, damaging DNA in the cells. And then we have a melanoma, which may have something to do with inheritance, but as well with elements and the factors as the sun is. Different levels, different penetration, different size, all this actually gets in the play of a cure. Most of these cancers are curable. Basal cell and a squamous cell, for the most part, we can always cure. We just have to be very attentive to our skin. We have to be, I would say, aware of what's going on our skin. And we definitely have to stick to yearly checkups.
So when you explain the basal cell, you said that's the deepest layer of skin. Is that something we actually can't see?
No, we actually see them all. I'm just saying what layer gets attacked and where is the layer which produces that craziness of a cancer. But all these are usually visible. They are not visible if they're in a hidden places that our eye cannot reach, like some hidden, areas which are not even sometimes exposed to sun. This is a tricky. It will be very, very easy if we see it all and if it all has the same clinical picture. But this is one mnemonic which I can actually make people aware. It's called A, B, C, D, E. And A stands for asymmetry. B is a border. When I say asymmetry, if you see anything on your skin that doesn't have symmetrical shape, like asymmetrical, or used to be symmetrical, now it's a little changing, you may assume that this may be either precancerous or cancerous lesion. Then if borders obviously are not very distinct, you may think it may be cancerous. Then color of it, if changes through the time, also may be signaling to you. Diameter and evolution of the lesion. If you have something which it was there for 10 years and now started changing in any of these, getting asymmetrical, changing a color, losing distinct borders, you may assume it may be going to the direction. If it's not cancerogenic, it may become. Though you have to look for help.
A, B, C, D, E. So let's Correct. Do that one more time.
Yes.
Asymmetry, borders,
color, diameter, and evolution of the lesion.
So that's how we can kind of monitor ourselves.
100% correct. However, we have to understand that we have a lot of areas we cannot see. Our back, we can see.
Yes.
Back of our arms, we cannot see. Back of our legs, Sometimes, like, cancers can start in genitalia. We don't really see that, and we don't examine that and stuff like this. Those are hidden areas.
Right.
That's why people should have a habit to go and see dermatologist once per year or twice. It depends of a skin type or the recommendation of dermatologist to do, like, total body check.
Are there any other types of screening tests we can do for skin cancer?
I'd be very honest, this is the best screening test we can go and stick to it. I know we get lazy and we kind of think we were there last year, but we were not there 5 years. And this is, I would suggest, best thing to do. And be always cognizant of your skin, at least what you can see, any changes. I'm not saying go and get paranoid about everything, but just be cognizant what's going on with your skin.
So you also mentioned earlier that a lot of different types of skin cancer are treatable. What are the different types of treatments for skin cancer?
Well, prevention is the best, as we all know, prevention, and we all have to focus to prevent it. In case that it happens, definitely we can get anything what's suspicious. We can have biopsy of it sent to pathology and see where we stand with that. And I would recommend remove that lesion. Then we can reconstruct this it depends on the size. We have different types of reconstruction, to bring some adjacent skin there or something. And for the most part, it heals beautifully and you really do not get disfigured, or, you know, because a lot of people thinking, what if this gets removed? Am I going to look like all scarred and stuff like this? I'm reassuring everybody, we have very sophisticated methods of reconstructing it. Sometimes it's very hard to notice that something was done to the person. To remove it, obviously, all lesions have to be sent to pathology for proper diagnostics. And then we monitor the patient. You know, certain lesions you remove from a face or from whatever hand or part of a body, you don't have to think about them ever anymore. The most malignant ones, which it depends in a way how they're spreading, and I don't want to go to the science right now, but melanomas are really the most concernable ones because they can get unnoticed sometimes, you know, because they don't have pigment all the time, but it can really, your skin starts changing and you would be able to see it. And they're originating in the cells which are carrying our pigment. Those need really attention for the most part. Sometimes oncologist gets involved. It depends on the depth of the lesion, how approach is different and stuff like this. But for the most part, and I would say that everything is treatable, except certain type of melanomas, which they went very far, and I don't going to go into treatment of it because this is not my field. This is oncology field, and I'm sure they can bring more light on it than I can. But prevention is the best thing, and nobody should be scared to go in and see a physician. And even if you think something needs to be biopsied, if you're sure that something changed in a period of time, just go. And, you know, plastic surgeons, we all do biopsies. Dermatologists do biopsies as well. Somebody has to biopsy that lesion and get some sense to it, or a truth to lit the light on it, right?
Right.
Like some spots which people start gaining when they're getting old, you know, like people call them senile spots. I really hate that term because it's not a senile spot. It's just like aging of a skin, you know. Senile
right.
refers to something else. It can start changing, you know. Sometimes it can be just the precancerous. If it's getting flaky, if it's changing in the color, if you see like, oh my God, do I have abrasion here and it wasn't there before? This is something to look, like change on any of these lesions. If you notice change, look for help.
How do we go about minimizing our risks of skin cancer?
First of all, we have to really be very, very, very well protected if we're exposing our body to sun. People get always like, oh, don't worry, I'm using 70 SPF for babies. But guess what? We are not babies. We need more than babies do, probably, and this is not what should apply to us. We have a different type of sunscreens. There are chemical and physical blocks in there. They work differently, and people will ask, what's a better? I would say physical block is the best, and I'll tell you why. Physical block works on us like shield. It just doesn't let any UVs to penetrate to our skin. Chemical blocks work as a sponge. They go in our skin, but they dissipate these UVs. Dissipation is hit or miss. It's not going to be all. Then you may think you're protected, but you are not. And I would really suggest that people stick to a sunscreen which contains physical block. And I'll tell you components if you're interested. And also, any protective gear you can have, we have to protect our eyes because we cannot put sunscreen on it. We should have some good UV filtration for our eyes because we don't want to damage our retina, right? We have to use protective hat. If you're on a beach, we really have to reapply our sunscreen at least every 2 hours, regardless did you swim. We all perspire on a beach, but we don't see it because it evaporates. But with evaporation and skin perspiring, we lose that sunscreen. We have to reapply it regardless. If it says on it, it's water resistant, yeah, for a short period of time, but laws of physics do not spare sunscreen, you know. If you went to swim, I'm telling you, you're not protected anymore. Apply it afterwards.
Chemical and physical sunblocks. I honestly had no idea that there were two different types. Could you give an example of what is a physical and what is a chemical sunscreen?
Physical block contains chemicals which do not get absorbed in our skin. They stay on our skin like shield. This
right.
is like zinc oxide. But if you all remember when we were kids, you know, my mom would slap on my ears, on my nose. This is like white, cakey thing. And I would look
right.
like hideous with this. But my mom was like, no, you cannot go and swim without this. Fair enough. Now we are much more sophisticated, and we have that same zinc oxide prepared differently, and it looks, it's in like a smaller particles. It's micro zinc. You put it on your face. A lot of sunscreens come with the micro zinc or titanium dioxide. Those are two components to look for in your sunscreen. Most of our moisturizers, they do contain something which is called chemical, but it gets dissipated in our skin. People try to avoid physical blocks because they think it can be comedonic. It cannot be good for problematic skin, like for acne-prone skin and stuff. But trust me, those are refined particles that everybody can use them. This is good lecture for everybody. When you're buying sunscreen product, make sure read physical block, and it has to contain at least 5 to 7% of micro zinc in it or titanium dioxide.
So physical block over chemical block.
The sunscreen with chemical block is better than nothing. Right. You know, can we combine them? Absolutely we can. But I would suggest to everybody just stick to it, make a daily routine. You definitely can put any makeup over it. It's not going to ruin anything you're usually wearing. Just find something which is good for your skin and just do it every day.
I am guilty of using the facial moisturizer with SPF 50, but you're saying that kind of gets absorbed and that
correct.
There's better.
Those are studies actually, and I do have it in my office, one very illustrative photo of a patient who was sitting the same desk, same position for 26 years. One side of her face was toward the window. And you have to see sun damage on that side of a face.
Wow.
Okay. We were under the impression that we don't have UVAs in a closed space. That's not true. Wherever you have penetration of UVAs, UVBs, to the closed space, daylight, you're always exposed. We all drive. And if you see your left side of a face, you'll see more sun damage there than on the right, because right side is a little further from that window. But people are not aware of it. We usually think, okay, I'm not on a beach. We have to be protected every day.
Would you also say that it's a good move to not just worry about your face on the daily basis, but would you be putting any sort of sunblock on any part of your body that's exposed every
100%
day?
Correct. And I also want to make people aware, this is excellent point that you're bringing, because people think, I have a t-shirt on me, I'm protected. One layer of clothing is not enough.
Wow.
And let every single UVs go through. It's not deflecting it. And you know, now companies are producing actually some kind of shirts with the UV protection.
The SPF shirts.
Not for no reason, because one layer is going to let it penetrate.
Wow.
Same companies who are producing facial sunscreens, they have a body sunscreens. But again, people think, I'm just going to apply it if I go to beach. I would really recommend to everybody, any exposed area, like you are going to walk to store during the summertime and you don't have any sleeves, just to put it on your arms, you know, because cancer is happening in your arms, in the legs, in all exposed areas, tip of our ears. How often we think about this? We put it on our face, we go. How about tip of our ears, because they're very exposed? Then lips, especially lower lip, because sun rays are hitting to this directly. And if you're looking at incidence of cancer, it's squamous cell, let's say, comes more often to the lower lip to the upper lip, because the lower lip is on the recipient side more.
It protrudes a little bit more. Yeah.
Nose, forehead, the cheeks, those are the areas because they protrude more.
You see a lot of lip balms on the market that have SPF.
Are those good? I do. And they're really good. But this is actually also look for physical block.
Still physical block.
Because you can apply anything over it. You know, you can apply any kind of lipstick or whatever you want. That first protecting layer, put it something which is going to protect you from UV rays, you know, and obviously you ate your drink, reapply.
Right. This is blowing my mind, because I am such a sunscreen proponent. My husband makes fun of me because he has that naturally dark, oily skin, and I am very pale and I've burned to a crisp in about a minute. So I'm constantly putting on sunscreen on me and my kids, constantly. I feel like I've been taking the right precautions. Now I'm thinking, am I not doing it right?
I'll tell you one thing. If you look statistically, who are the people who are really getting in highest incidence cancers? Those are people who suffered in the past or as a kid from a sunburn and sunburn blistered. You are doing really good thing protecting yourself, but your husband has to get protected too. If he has a little bit of more pigment, good for him, but he still can get a cancer.
Yeah.
And people are not really cognizant of certain areas where they can get it, and they don't even think about this. Like, you can get it on the nails. You can get it on your palms and soles. This may not be related to sun, but you still can get it.
Wow.
Guys usually are more kind of not in love with the sunscreen. They think it's a sissy thing. You know, when we're on the beach and I'm trying to apply this, my husband is like, I have to always joke with him, you have to understand it's not acid. It's only I'm applying sunscreen. It's not going to burn you.
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. That's fine. He makes faces like I'm torturing. I was like, you're not torturing chamber. What's wrong with you? Just guys are not for it. But they really have to be very much aware of it. Because when you're young, it's all nice and dandy. Although young people have this. But I didn't say that usually people like, starting from their 40s, they have a high incidence, then 60s and later high incidence, which shows you how your really skin get damaged
right.
and suffers.
What about the kids? Every time we go outside, I do year-round, I always have the spray because it's so much easier to deal with the kids. I just spray them down constantly. Those stupid cans, they run out so fast too. There's like nothing in them.
True. And expensive too.
They are expensive. Sunscreen is so expensive. And you had mentioned earlier in our conversation about how some adults will tell you, oh, well, I wear the kids 70 SPF. I am guilty of that at times. Can I put adult sunscreens on kids? Is
absolutely.
That too strong for them?
No. Absolutely, you can. I think they're trying just branding it as a kids. First of all, nobody will think twice to buy it because it doesn't matter how much it costs. It's for my kid. It has
right.
to be the best. Not really. You will not harm your child if you're putting something what you're putting on yourself.
Right.
But make sure it's physical block. What you're doing to your kids is actually you are saving them when they get in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Because if they're blistering like kids from a sun, I bet you they're going to develop cancer later on.
Wow.
You have to. You can never be careful enough with this.
Yeah.
And that's really the most important thing, to be aware. And people always saying, I'm young, nothing will happen. May not happen now. But you have to really work for your future because we all want to live long and we do have, now we live till 90s and 100s, but you want to be healthy.
Do the SPF numbers matter? Is there a difference between 50 and 70?
What's the difference? This tells you how much longer you can stay on the sun, like comparison if you are not protected. Let's say I have no sunscreen and you do have SPF 50. This means you can stay 50 minutes longer than I do.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes. I would really tell people, look for ingredients. Do not look for numbers.
Okay.
Try to get physical protection, not chemical. Just repeat it. This is the easiest way to teach people. Zinc oxide, it's called micro zinc now, in percentage 5 and higher is great. Titanium dioxide as well. As long as you have one of these or both of them, you're good. But don't forget it. It's not good for entire day. It's good for 2 to 3 hours. Reapply it. If you are swimming every half an hour, reapply it every half an hour. Laws of physics do apply.
Pay more attention to those ingredients for the physical block.
Correct.
Than any SPF number.
Correct.
But again, some protection is better than none.
100% correct.
So I'm going to go through what I have left in my vanity, and then I'm going to start looking for that physical block because I've been stocking up on that stuff. We know, obviously, talking about sun exposure can oftentimes lead to skin cancer, but what are some other risks of sun exposure aside from cancer?
Well, aging moment is really there. Our skin looks worn, looks like more, we have more wrinkles. It becomes looking leathery and thin. You kind of start aging much quicker if you're exposing yourself. And this is very easy to see if you are traveling somewhere, people live in mountains, they're exposed, they don't care. And somebody tells you, oh, I'm 40 years old. You're looking at a face. Oh, my God, I would think you're 70 years old. You wouldn't say it, but that's what crosses your mind. Because we really age much quicker. Skin ages much quicker. The blotchiness with leatheriness, and this all kind of contributes to our not flattering looks.
Is there a way to reverse sun damage?
Yes, it is. We have a lot of things which we can resurface the skin. You know, we can do microneedlings. We kind of stimulate your collagen production. It depends on the depth of your needles and who does it and what the really goal is. You can build more collagen, rejuvenate your skin. We have different lasers, which they may do ablation on your skin, stimulate new collagen production and rejuvenation of the skin. Then we can do different type of peels and stuff. Really, we have a huge number of things we can do to help somebody to reverse those signs of aging and damaged skin.
A lot of the terms that you just threw out, like a microderm abrasion, things like that, you see often on like a cute little menu at a little spa.
Right.
Right. They really shouldn't be taken so lightly, though. They're not meant for everyone, right?
I agree with you. And that's how really good procedures get bad name. Because if you are going somewhere, and don't take me wrong, everybody's trying to make a living and do things. But people should be doing something which is with their domain of knowledge and expertise. And if complication happens, they should be able to handle it. That's how I see that. Because if you are doing anything for damaged skin, I would really think you should need more than a spa to do this. You should need some professional who's going to really assess your skin, who's going to see what's best for you, because it's not one applied to everybody. We're all different. We have a different problem. Some of us have more wrinkles. Some of us have more discoloration in the skin and stuff. And I would really suggest to everybody to get examined by somebody who knows more than spa. You may end up taking a treatment in a spa, but assessment has to be done by somebody who does know more than people in a spa. And I'm not trying to offend anybody in a spa. You know, I know people do great things there, but you have to really be aware where do you do what.
Right. You need to know what you're getting yourself into.
100% correct.
Because they know how to sell that stuff, man.
That's
they really
true.
Do.
It's a huge industry, I know. We live in a society, as we spoke about this before, aging is not kind of permitted. And we all have to look at 30 years old, but we have to have experience of 60. I don't know how this happened, but we have to. But the point is there, you know, and this is easy to sell. Especially, we all want to reverse our aging process. But you have to be really aware of all this. And I'm sure people are for the most part, but you also have to look for somebody who's going to do assessment, who's going to tell you, this is what you need. Because if I do microneedling, let's say in my office, I use some radio frequency microneedling, and I'm going to change the depth of that needle for people, because you and I don't need the same, because you're younger than I am. Mm. Okay, but somebody who knows anatomy of it, physiology and pathophysiology should be really treating you. That's my opinion.
So what did we learn today? Physical sunscreen. What
correct.
Are those two ingredients?
This is micro zinc, zinc oxide, I would say, and titanium dioxide.
That's what we're looking for in our sunscreen ingredients
yes.
in this Skin Cancer Awareness Month. Thank you so much, Dr. Tanovich.
Thank you very much. And I hope we made more people aware of skin cancer and how to protect themselves. Thank you.
I'm Jamie Morris. This has been Talking with Dr. Tanovich on WHLI.